you see that she's below a threshold, and there's a panic at like 12 hours postpartum, oh no, she's too low. She might be on her way back up, and you might treat her, and that might disrupt her whole natural response to calving. And naturally what happens is a decrease in calcium. And so that's why, like, if we could get people to get past 48 hours, unless the cow appears sick from a calcium standpoint, you'd have a better idea if, like, she's entered like a homeostatic situation. But if she's still low, then there's something going on.
Welcome to the Dairy Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest dairy health research digested for you. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Steel, ventilation, cow cooling, cow-centric design, engineered in Canada by InBarn Solutions. Stop hiring for problems automation can solve. Start with Elevate Agents. Revenue grew, so did your hours. The owner's box, buy back 20 a week. Don't hire another VA stuck in 2015. Hire a remote AI specialist from Latin who runs AI tools, works in your time zone, and helps your team move faster. Schedule your free strategy call at www.wisevas.io. Zentrix Insights. The right person in the right seat starts with knowing how your team is actually wired. Visit ZentrixInsights.com. Zentrix OS, the business operating system built for teams who are serious about goals, tasks, and measurable results. One platform to run your entire operation.
All right. Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Dairy Health Black Belt Podcast by Wisenetics. I'm Craig McConnell. I am the Director of Vet Med Extension here at Washington State University. And today we're welcoming Dr. Laura Hernandez, who is a professor in lactation biology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and director of the Endocrine and Reproductive Physiology Graduate Program. Her research focuses on investigating novel pathways that regulate the transition from pregnancy to lactation and from lactation to involution in the mammary gland. And specifically, she's interested in explaining novel pathways involved in calcium homeostasis at the onset of lactation in dairy cattle. So that leads us to our topic of the day, which is going to be hypocalcemia. And I thought we would just start by exploring the difference between hypocalcemia and dyscalcemia, and then we'll see where that takes us.
Sounds great. Thank you for the introduction and also for having me on. Hypocalcemia and dyscalcemia, two of my favorite topics.
Perfect.
Where I've spent like the last long part of my career focusing on. And it's certainly a thing that comes up a lot in the industry. Folks for a long time have been really worried about hypocalcemia. Is it good? Is it bad? And I'll give a shout out to my colleague, Dr. Jess McCart at Cornell. She really showed some nice data separating out these four types of cows that come through the transition period and really what is the bad calcium homeostasis. And it was something we saw in a lot of our really intensive studies. I'm less of an epidemiologist, which makes sense. I'm a physiologist. But these dyscalcemic cows are cows that are going to have low calcium for a longer, more extended period of time. So you would see them to be low calcium about where she lays the cutoff at about 4 days in milk. They would have been low probably on day one, too. But often we come to the fact that maybe you don't need to measure calcium the first day postpartum because cows might be low, but they might be optimally low where they're going to bounce back to be normal calcemic by 2, 3, 4 days in milk. And that's where we would call the transient hypocalcemic cow. And those cows actually go on to produce more milk. They're typically more healthy, so less displaced abomasum, less reproductive problems. And the dyscalcemic cow is going to be low at day one, but she's going to be low again day 3, 4 in milk. And so that's the cow that is struggling. And those are the cows that have low production, have a higher incidence for disease, the whole host of ones that you would find associated with hypocalcemia, like DA, sometimes mastitis, And of course, like now even more commonly reproductive disorders, but a lot of that's tied to immune function reduction. And so those are the cows that really are problematic. And so I've really been interested in understanding like what makes a cow dyscalcemic versus what I would call transient hypocalcemic. And so that's where a lot of our work has been. She has two other classifications of cows where they would be normal. So normal at day one, normal at day four, but those cows will even make a little less milk than the transient cows. And I believe those were statistically significant amounts. And for a long period of time, it was like 10, 12 weeks postpartum. And then there's the group of cows that are going to be like high at calving, but they go low day four in milk. And that's those are a different classification of cows. And they typically don't do well either. So these transient cows and these normal cows like are the healthiest, but it's these dyscalcemic cows that might be low or high low that are really the ones that are struggling to manage their calcium homeostasis across the transition period. So that's where a lot of my work has been focused on. We've been doing a lot of really manipulative studies to explore this. And a lot of her work has been to like from an epidemiological perspective. And recently she and I have been collaborating to kind of pull the pieces together to sort of tease out what is happening, of course, mechanistically, but like what might be the drivers prepartum that are causing this. And so we've been looking at like feed intake, immune function, and of my interest, like how's the mammary gland driving this? Because it's really the mammary gland acting as that calcium sink that is going to disrupt their circulation situation and like partitioning to other tissues. So that's where my research is has spent a lot of time in that space.
At Inborn Solutions, everything we build starts with a cow-centric design approach because better cow comfort drives better performance. Our systems are expertly engineered in Canada, combining real-world dairy experience with practical innovation you can trust in the barn. From smarter layouts to data-driven herd insights, we help producers improve efficiency, animal welfare, and overall profitability. InBarn Solutions, engineered in Canada, designed for cows, built for results.
So I'd be honest, that opens up a can of worms that I could go in all sorts of different directions. This feels like there's just tons of different, there's tons of different angles on this. But just in this, in sort of the more succinct way of sort of forming my questions, I'll funnel it down to if calcium is viewed in isolation, sort of through the transient, you know, changes or those that are high or low, are there other easy indicators? Easy in the sense of diagnostically easy indicators that are aligned with that Ooh. You're exploring?
That is the million-dollar question. So we've been looking at a number of markers that might be suitable that you could like presumably, you know, that is the question veterinarians always ask is like, what blood sample can I pull and what can I look exactly. at that might tell me something? And so far I haven't seen something that is like really good gold standard cause and effect. And I think that's there are a number of reasons why is because there are a multitude of hormones and like immune factors that are controlling calcium homeostasis. Secondarily, I think more than likely you would need to know before they calved. And that is a hard thing to do. Like, what day do you pick? Does she go over 10 days? Like, am I picking the right day to pull a sample? But one of the things that like we are seeing are there are some pretty good data suggesting maybe like feed intake, of course, might be a big, driver of some of this, like, because clearly if they're not, like, they all decrease, but if they go too low, there could be triggers that cause this and, like, regulate the circulation, or just the depression so low that it disrupts their internal homeostasis. So that might be one thing. And then postpartum, it's hard. I think that's the chicken or the egg. You have to know where the cow is at in her, like, decrease, the natural decrease in calcium that occurs at calving, because there is a natural decrease. Is she going down or is she on her way back up? Because if you see that she's below a threshold, and there's a panic at like 12 hours postpartum, oh no, she's too low, she might be on her way back up, and you might treat her, and that might disrupt her whole natural response to calving. And naturally what happens is a decrease in calcium. And so that's why, like, if we could get people to get past 48 hours, unless the cow appears sick from a calcium standpoint, you'd have a better idea if, like, she's entered like a homeostatic situation. But if she's still low, then there's something going on. So that's, like, on the backside of calving, that's kind of where you're at. But prepartum would be ideal. But when in the prepartum day do you want to go? I don't know. And that's sort of what I'm trying to see if I can figure that out.
Awesome. You know what? I think we're going to leave it there, because this is going to, that sets the stage perfectly for a future conversation once you figure that all out.
I hope.
Wait, thanks so much for joining. This is awesome. Good conversation. And honestly, I think that there's probably more that we're going to explore in the future. So thank you.
Thank you.